The Holy Gospel for the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are still going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the verse preceding today's gospel reading, Jesus said, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." To a large degree, the gospel reading this morning is Jesus' expansion on and explanation of that statement. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was focused on a narrow and woodenly literal application of what had been said to those of old. For instance, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear falsely." When Jesus cites these laws and then continues, "But I say to you," he brings a far more expansive standard to bear. He's describing the only righteousness that will avail before God. Entry into the kingdom of God is not simply, with regard to the fifth commandment, never having pulled a trigger or using a blunt, heavy instrument to smash in someone's skull. If you think you're okay with the prohibition against murder just because you've never done anyone any physical injury, Jesus says you are profoundly mistaken. A hateful word, even just an insult spoken to your neighbor, makes you guilty of murder. And supposing you've succeeded in restraining your tongue, which Scripture says is impossible, the apostle writes, "No human being can tame the tongue." But just for the sake of argument, supposing you've succeeded in restraining your tongue, You still aren't in the clear, according to Jesus. That's because God judges the heart. And he knows the anger you've held against people who have wronged you. And what's in store for such an offender? The hell of fire, Jesus says. When it comes to the sixth commandment, prohibiting adultery, the picture doesn't get any prettier. You've never had sexual relations with anyone but your husband or wife within the bonds of marriage? That's better than the alternative, certainly, but it doesn't put you in the clear. A number of years ago, as I was going into the post office, an attractive woman came out, catching the attention of a number of men that she passed. When she had gone, one of the men said, "It's okay to look." Jesus says, "No, it isn't. Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. No matter what you haven't done, a lustful look makes you an adulterer. And what does an adulterer deserve? Hell, Jesus says. So better to gouge out an eye or cut off a hand if that could prevent you from committing the sin that results in such a punishment. Of course, the problem is that blind men and amputees can still commit adultery by lusting in their hearts. As Jesus explains elsewhere, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Gouge out your eyes, cut off your limbs. It won't solve the problem. The only amputation that could keep you from sinning is an amputation of the heart. Next, Jesus takes up swearing. This could involve the eighth commandment, forbidding false witness, and also the second, forbidding the misuse of God's holy name. Again, though, the effect of his, "But I say to you," is the same. Simply never swearing falsely, if you were able to do that without fail throughout your life, still doesn't mean that you were righteous before God with regard to this commandment. So what is Jesus saying in today's gospel reading? Plain and simple, you are a sinner who deserves hell. I am a sinner who deserves hell. When it comes to righteousness according to the law, forget it. You haven't met the mark. You haven't even come close. The result of Jesus' teaching here is summarized very well by St. Paul. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. So that every mouth may be stopped. God accepts no excuses. No mitigating circumstances apply. Any explanation is irrelevant. In the face of the full force of Jesus' preaching here, sinners are left with nothing to say. They are silenced. Jesus' authority is unassailable. So where does this leave you? As it turns out, in a much better place than you would be in if God hadn't exposed you for what you are, a sinner deserving hell. That's because without the truth of God's law, you would rationalize and excuse your way into a delusion of self-righteousness and would have no use for a Savior. Most everyone is willing to grant that he's not perfect. But if he thinks he's pretty much okay, then he'll figure that all he needs to do is to keep it up and do his best. But God's law serves to stop all that foolishness. God's law works like a mirror. Think maybe of one of those magnifying mirrors women use for putting on makeup. In the mirror of God's law, your every blemish is revealed, and the ugly truth of your sin is inescapable. In today's gospel, Jesus identifies you as a murderer, an adulterer, one who swears falsely, a sinner. And there is no hope for you, none at all, except in the one who came for the sole purpose of saving sinners. Jesus wants you to know that you are a sinner so that you will look to him to save you. Without him, you would be lost, condemned to hell. But you aren't without him. Through holy baptism, you have been united with Christ. You have been joined with him in his death, so that like him, you too might rise to a new life. In baptism, you were clothed with Christ. Now his righteousness is never murdering or speaking a hateful word or insulting. His never even incurring judgment by being angry. His never committing adultery or looking with lust or having even a single unchaste thought. His never swearing falsely, never lying, always letting his yes be yes and his no be no. All this righteousness and more has been credited to you. As a baptized child of God, your heavenly Father no longer sees you as a sinner deserving hell. No, now he sees you in Christ, sees you as his own dear son whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. But living a life of perfect holiness, as vital as that was, isn't all that Jesus did to save you. He also took full responsibility for your sin. All of the evil you have thought or done, all the good that you failed to do, took it all and bore the full punishment for it in your place. His death on the cross for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world means that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, through your baptism, in Christ Jesus, through faith in him, there is now no condemnation for you because it has all been exhausted in him. His word, which identifies you as a sinner deserving hell, also declares all your sins forgiven. And as true as the first is, so true also is the second. So that you can be sure of this, Jesus seals you with his blood, giving you to drink for the forgiveness of sins, along with his body broken for you to eat. Thus he comes to you and dwells in you to forgive you and to save you. You come to his altar a sinner, without any merit or worthiness in you, to receive the gift of forgiveness and life. Here he gives himself to you, as he promised in the word. And so you depart from the altar in peace, having seen his salvation and having received his forgiveness. St. Paul wrote to Timothy, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That means he came into the world to save you. So rejoice this week to live as a repentant sinner, still unrighteous in regards to even your most sincere efforts, but nevertheless forgiven, indeed declared holy and righteous through Jesus' own perfect life and innocent suffering and death to save you from your sin. Jesus has done it. It's true. Amen. Please rise. the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.
Amen.